You're listening to the What's the Fuzz podcast, where we break you out of your vacuum seal and get down to what's real. Never miss another episode again. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And now, your host, Reiner.
Hey, what's going on, Fuzzos? Thanks for tuning in. I'm Reiner the Blue Dragon with the appetite for ass, and I'm joined by Pan the Bear.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, on this fine Saturday afternoon of September 26th, 2020. If you're not familiar with him, he's one of the heads of the Furs of Color safe space for BIPOC furries to find each other and chat with each other without the fear of harassment. They're really freaking cool, to say the least. You can follow them over at Dungeons and Bears. I'll put that in the description. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Pan.
Hey, no worries. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course, of course. So I've got an icebreaker question for you to start off.
Okay.
All right. If you could only have one beverage for the rest of your life, what would it be?
That depends. Do my tea still rot?
Yeah, sure. You can have forever hot tea.
Sweet. In that case, if my teeth aren't going to go anywhere, it's root beer.
Root beer?
Yeah, I love root beer. I mean, I know I'm British and I love tea because, you know, God save the Queen. But also, just root beer is just fucking nice. Oh, wait, can I swear?
Yeah, that's fine.
Cool. Then it's really fucking nice. Like, I remember back when I was a kid and McDonald's did root beer and man, yeah, no, my teeth were destroyed, but it was worth it.
You know something weird, like, are you from the UK?
Yeah.
Yeah, whenever I went to London, root beer was actually like really hard for me to find there. I don't know if I was going to the wrong places or what.
You know what's funny? They banned it for a while.
Oh, that would explain it.
Yeah, McDonald's just stopped stocking it. You can still get it with like the sugar-free kind, which is just no. And they banned it for a while. I think it's back now, but, you know, with restrictions. The real stuff, the old stuff, the good stuff, that's gone.
Yep, of course. Good old Queen taking all the fun away.
Yeah, the Queen personally took my root beer, slapped it out my hand.
But hey, I think we'd like to know a little bit more about you going forward. So sure. We've already established that you're from the UK, but where specifically?
I'm from London. Heart of England.
North or south?
Southeast, actually.
Yeah. I could kind of tell in your voice there a little bit.
Nice.
So, what are your accomplishments, your bank and routing number, your social security number, stuff like that?
Well, I don't have a social security number because I'm British. What was the other question? My bank account? Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. It's 555-5555. I would fuck off.
Yeah. No, but actually, I just wanted to know how old you were.
I'm 38. I've been a fan since I was like a kid. That's one of the reasons why I started up Furs of Color, because there wasn't really anything like it. I remember I saw Shai Matsy did a post ages ago about like the black, furry Black History Month, American thing. We have it here too, but it's a different month. And I was just like, wow, like, you can do that? You can just say that? You can just tell people, yeah, I'm black, like, in the furry fandom. Like, it's cool. And it was great because there was this huge outpouring of fellowship and respect. And people were like, oh, yeah, me too, showing off pictures themselves and stuff. And that was very cool. I saw that and I was like, you know, it would be great if we could just, like, all meet up. And originally it was just me and a few friends who I'd met, like, going to conventions and stuff. But it grew, and now we've got something like 380-something members on the Telegram, and I don't even know on the Discord. We were hopefully looking to do, you know, meetups this year, but, you know, COVID, so no. But they'll come. They'll be here.
Oh, man. So what's your main persona, and how do you feel you express yourself through them?
Man, well, that'll be Pan, the bear, Panic the Bear. It's funny because Panic was actually designed for me. My original Sona, I'd still had my like old, edgy teen Sona, and I just never really did anything with him. I actually fell out of the fandom for a while. When I came back, I was like, I'll just keep using this guy. But Pan was designed for me by an artist called Garnetto. She used to live nearby me, and she came in. And one of my staff actually outed me as a furry because he saw her drawing and was like, oh, yeah, my boss is a furry. And I was like, thanks. But
just casually.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't really make a big deal about hiding or anything. I'm not like, I don't go crazy, but like, I'm like, yeah, sure. You know, some folks just like dudes who do stuff. Some are not. That's cool. But yeah, she kind of came around a lot and then eventually helped me design him. I guess one of the first things I wanted to do, even before like first color and all that, was I wanted to like, you know, give him dreads and like code him, not myself. Like I had, back when I started up, I used to wear like a gray beanie on my hair, and she worked that into him. And after a while, I took that off because like I just wanted to have him with dreads and like properly. I guess I mostly come out through him, just through like a lot of the art. I get a lot of like, I like being a host, so I get like a lot of art of him hosting stuff. Like he runs like a little cafe, and that's fun.
Oh, that's so wholesome.
It's so, no porn. Don't go looking for it.
Oh, okay.
I can hear the clicking. Listen,
that didn't even come across my mind. I swear to God.
Don't lie.
I would never. I would never. So are there parts of yourself that you've discovered through being a furry?
Sure. Yeah. I wouldn't really say that I was like super, super like enlightened, I guess. Like I learned a lot about myself, and it helped me a lot with just being able to talk to people. I was a like runty kid, back in the day, like real quiet. And then, I found anime, which got me out like meeting people and stuff, and we were all huge bloody nerds. But then from there, I kind of slipped over into the, I think it was the Sonic Hedgehog fandom back in the day. So I got into Sonic and then furry, and the furries were doing meets all the time. So I was like, oh yeah, sure, I'll go to that. And my first meet wasn't great, and that's what made me like slip out of the fandom for a while. But when I came back, I went to a convention with a few friends, Lovewin and Deej. And just they showed me that like the fandom was like this really fun place where you knew where to look. So I stuck around.
All right.
It was nice to learn that I enjoyed people and looking out for people that way.
Yeah, that's true. That did help you come out your shell a little bit. Even if that first time was a little bit what would you expect.
Yeah, I won't go into it. It wasn't great. Early fandom could be kind of weird. Put it that way.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So how long altogether have you been part of the fandom, and how has your relationship with it changed over the years?
Oh, geez. Be 15 years? Yeah, 15, maybe 20 years on and off.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Like, I've always liked cartoons, and, you know, cartoons were always like cartoon animals. So if I wanted to find out more about I don't know, Tiny Toons, I was going to bump into something sometime. But I think my feelings of the fandom have changed, like, as I've gotten older. You know, the fandom, it's a young fandom, and that's great. You know, it's great for, like, a lot of people who, like me, were kind of coming out of their shell, kind of looking to find a place where they could be, you know, openly queer, or explore themselves, or their sexuality, or even just their own, like, sense of, you know, self, sense of, so self and self-worth as well. And I think for that, it was a case of, I realized that I enjoyed, like, again, like hosting people and, like, you know, doing stuff for people. So running events and things was a lot of fun for me. But, you know, that burns you out, unfortunately. You get the good and the bad. So I, like many people, I think, became a little bit jaded with the fandom. And it was really the First of Color movement, I guess, that kind of brought me back into it full scale. So I'd still go to events and stuff, but I was like, you know, I was a knowledgeable outsider for a lot of the time.
So you spent a lot of time being furry adjacent before like going furry, like full furry.
Yeah, I'd like dip in and out depending on where my life was at the time. But yeah, it was good to know that I could be part of a group that you know, was very open most of the time, accepting and allowed you to try things, but also be able to switch gears and like look out for other people as well at the same time.
And why do you think you gravitate more towards the furs of color?
Well, I'm black. That's like step one. I guess step two is, I mean, obviously, despite having like, you know, been part of the founding fathers, whatever of it, if that's what we call it, I think I would have probably gone to it anyway. it's weird because being British, not American, obviously most of the Furs of Color group are American. So even then, there's a lot of stuff that I don't really get on a cultural level sometimes. But I appreciate, I understand the you know, the basis levels of what it, of what it is to be of color in a predominantly white space, and to have that constant nagging feeling that, hey, is this for me? Should I be doing this? And you know, yeah, of course, it's fun. You know, it's a lot of fun, and there's people like you if you go looking for them. So why not just, you know, give people a place to go and look for them?